We are Brightside.
Theta nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The Home Theater Podcast, it's all about the experiences, and this is one. The sights.
The sounds.
The scenes.
With a delay.
Oh, man, how embarrassing.
See, when you're part of the live show, these are the treats that you get, because I'll cut out that whole opening for the audio-only people. And please now the audio-only people will hear us say that, and they'll be like, oh, I got to hear what happened. Got to go to the live show. Literally, no pleasantries until I hit record here. So how you doing, Steve?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, very good. I was feeling all smug and clever because I thought I've just sussed out something new and I can now use kind of breakout chat from YouTube and I can have that and on one screen and then, you know, live feed on another. But if you do that, you get it twice, I've discovered.
Yeah.
So that's put the kibosh on that idea. But yes, other than that, okay. It's early here.
I know.
Or at least earlier. So, I may be a little bit more rambunctious than I normally am because it's an hour earlier. So I'm that much more awake. Poor you.
And well, see, that's the thing is I was supposed to have this, not this week off, but things were supposed to settle down a little bit. Right. So I had told all my subcontractors, like starting next week, we're ready to go. My brother-in-law said that they were pulling out on Friday. Well, that all changed Thursday afternoon at like 4 o'clock when the job he was supposed to go to this week literally didn't delay. They just canceled the job. So he had nowhere to go. So he's staying here to finish up and do the decking and everything. And we'll show you some of the stuff that he's gotten to already that we've done. So now he is here. But then on top of that, I sent out a reminder to all my subs on Monday, yesterday. I'm like, hey, we're doing this, this, and this. And he goes, well, I'd like to be in there before you do that and the roof and this and that. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, let's go. How about tomorrow? Great. I'm like, okay. So that my plumber has been there all day. But to get ready for him, he was coming in at 7:30 a.m., I had to get walls up. I was there at 6:30 because I had to be there for a delivery. I had to go buy the tubs and everything yesterday to get them delivered today. This is all since yesterday. So it's just been insane. And now he's coming back to finish tomorrow. So when I'm done here, I got to go back and I got to finish a couple of walls. Cause you can't just have like your sinks. Like the connections for your sinks just hanging there. So I got to make the walls for that, the showers and stuff. But, some of the stuff's already in, but I'm just running around like crazy. And I don't say no to anybody. I just go, I'll get it done. I get it done.
I'll find a way.
So I'm like, and because we did set our clocks ahead, now I have more light at the end of the day.
Yes.
Whereas
yes.
Before I had no choice. It's dark. I have to do the podcast. But now I'm like, all right, I'll do the podcast. We'll get done a little early. I get over there before it gets dark and then I'll do some more work. But then I'll be back at 6:30 tomorrow morning to do more work so that they can finish up. So,
I'm quite busy then.
Yes. Yes. Very, very busy. I'm loving it though. I'm loving it. It's coming along. We'll see the pictures. We'll get to all that stuff. That is literally part of my experience.
Well, this week, Deej, had an extra bright side experience.
Extra bright side?
Yeah. Got it. Yes.
I know. Oh man. I have the pictures, don't I?
I texted them to you just to look at. Yes. You don't have to put them up unless you've got them easily to hand.
Well, why don't you start chatting?
Yeah, I'll explain.
Them.
Yeah.
So I will scroll back and see if I can find them. There you go.
So
go ahead.
Imagine my surprise then as I was driving down an unfamiliar road on Friday night. It was pouring with rain. It was pitch black. and a bright sign emerged out of the darkness.
Yeah.
That is, as I was driving past, that said Brightside Roadside Diner. Now, if that's not some sort of sign, I don't know what is. I mean, it was a big sign, but some sort of sign. But unfortunately, I was driving on a fairly quick road, so I couldn't get a picture of it without causing an accident. So, so the next night I went back and had a meal there, and it was possibly one of the best meals I've ever had. Now, I don't think that's because it's Brightside necessarily, but it may have been. And it was very cool. Yes, there we go. Yeah, you can see the rain. You can see the rain in that picture. Look at that. That shows you how wet it was. And whilst that picture's blown out because of the very bright light of the black background. Yeah, there you go. Brightside Roadside Diner.
Outside.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It was very, very cool and an amazing meal. And rest assured, they have merch inside, but the merchandise is just the, you see on the left there, that bee and then the kind of flower around it. All the shirts and stuff just have that on it. And I said to the guide, I said, I explained who I am and what we do. And I showed him a picture of me with the shirt.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah. Do you know who I am? Yeah, absolutely. And I said to them, do you have anything with the Brightside, you know, Brightside logo on something, not just the bee? And they didn't. They just had these kind of crappy t-shirts with just a bee. But just had they done that, I would have got one, you know, and shipped it over to you. Oh man. But so cool. And the meal was fantastic. So anybody that's, you know, traveling and encounters this place, I highly recommend it. The food was amazing. And then tell them Brightside Home Theater sent you and they'll look at you as if to say, who the hell are you? But still.
Exactly. Now, did I imagine I know you well enough. Did you tell them all about the podcast and that you're going to talk about it? Did they comp your meal for you?
No, hell no.
Oh no.
They looked, awesome. they genuinely
that's
looked
even
at me.
Better because that's we're not sponsored. We don't do sponsorships, but we just say like I hit a Brightside Diner.
Yeah. Awesome. They looked at me as if to say, I mean they're very friendly, nice people, but as if to say, so but no, I did tell them.
Yeah, well what you gotta say is if you're into home theater, we're kind of a small deal.
yeah, that's it. Yes. Yeah, don't you know who I am? Good. No one else does either.
Yeah, exactly.
But I showed them a picture of the t-shirt that one of the pictures I had of the t-shirt and said, oh, that's our logo. You know, that's what we've done.
Yeah.
but yeah, as I said, mildly bemused. I don't think they really know what to say, but it was a very cool thing to see and genuine. It was like, oh my God, you know, we've got to get photos. And even if the meal's rubbish, we've got to go and have some food there because it's Brightside.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's like, I'm not even hungry.
yeah, that's it. I did kind of hope that they'd give me one of those. That bottle that I showed, that's like a carafe of water. And that bottle there is the only thing that had Brightside written on it in the thing. And I was sort of hoping they might give me one of those, but they didn't.
Nope.
And you couldn't buy it either. Otherwise, I would have done. So, yeah, never mind. Yeah. But very cool. So double Brightside this week.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's Steve. No. Oh, and here, I don't know why this didn't. Here it is.
Oh yeah, there's an advert in the Brightside. There you go. And there's an advert in one of the toilets that I sent you as well. I think the it's supposed to be. By the way, if you look at it and you think it's kind of weird, it's because the owner said, and think that's the one. Join the Brightside. There you go. The owner apparently on the website, because I went straight to the website, was saying that he was inspired by 1970s kind of and 80s kind of kitsch roadside diners here. Okay. And so that's what they were trying to go for. And they apparently spent months working on designs and trying to come up with names and eventually settled on Brightside. So, which is supposed to evoke this kind of timeless thing. But but they must have thought, who's this idiot going around taking photos of stuff?
Of all the Brightside stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like
industrial espionage or something.
That's so funny.
But it was cool. It was very cool to see and was nice after a long drive on Friday. It was cool to just see this thing emerge out of the pitch black and the rain.
That's so funny. I know when you texted me that, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, there's a lot of Brightside stuff out there. And I hear more and more, obviously now, since we started the show years ago, it's like anytime you hear it in a movie or something and you're like, you know.
You always look on the bright side.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, not Aaron Eckhart.
Eckhart. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So cool.
Oh, yeah.
So
fun. Yeah, the core.
The core. Yeah.
The core. That's it. Yep. Yeah. That's, I remember.
You always look on the bright side.
Yep. Yeah. Hillary Swank and Aaron Eckhart.
That's a yep. one. Yeah, no, it's cool. So it was very cool. So anybody else that does encounter it, we do want to see these, don't we? So if anyone else is strolling about and sees something with Brightside on, then send it our way, because I think we're forming a global community here. We stretch beyond home cinema.
Yeah. So speaking of beyond home cinema, it's not really beyond home cinema. I took a big step for the podcast this week. Yeah. I actually created the podcast's very first account. It's got its own account now. It's just under my name for now. But I am now able to, everything goes into there and it'll be paid from there. It's got a debit card, checks, blah, 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 specifically for the podcast. And the reason I did this is because I wasn't going to be able to go to Expona because I don't have the money. Like, I got plenty of money, but it's not mine. It's all going out to the people building the houses. And I have no wiggle room anywhere. And I was like, wait a minute, let me try this. And I have all that money sitting in Patreon because we've been doing last year. We did the donations and we will get back to that. I promise you. We do the donations and everything like that, but I've always just done that on my own and let the money sit there. So I took all the money from Patreon, transferred it. And now I'm just paying for stuff like that. So when we get back at it, it's like, I mean, all the money, any box of popcorn, boom, right into the account. Any of this goes, it pays for the podcast. It's paying for my trip. It's going to pay for M-Wave. It's going to pay for Cedia. And hopefully we can get, and the more money I get, the more I'll travel more. So it's very exciting. My wife's very happy to see we're not spending money. We aren't, but now Brightside has. And when it's out of money, podcast is over. Sorry, everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, if it's more money to travel.
I'm actually contributing my funds to keep it going. I'm putting 10% of my money in it. That way it's always there and it'll be growing all the time.
So if that increases your ability to travel, are you telling me I need to start making up the bed in the spare room? Is that what you're saying, Deej?
Absolutely. When this house is done and I can put more money, if, you know, when the house is done and everything, all my finances are stable.
Resuscitated.
Resuscitated, exactly. I'm like, if the money is sitting there in the Brightside account, I'd be like, why wouldn't I go? Right? And as long as I'm like, my work's a long weekend. Let's go see Steve.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That's it. Well, we're 5 hours ahead. You gain 5 hours in the travel. You know, you'll be fine.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's don't do math right now. I can't. Yeah, yeah. So, speaking of math, so yeah, anybody, all donations, popcorns, keep it coming, people. I'll travel this way. and support the show as itself, because I was actually going through all the stuff and I transferred all the debits that come out and I'm like, holy crap, I got a lot of debits coming out for the show, like just Adobe and blah, 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 all the things that we run this, the StreamYard, everything. So, but anyways, enough on that. Brightside Home Theater, patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater or boxes of popcorn on the website. Anyways. We got to get to the topic, probably the topic of the day for now. I know we do. You've got some home theater experiences, a few. I've got my experience of the week to get to. But man, the Oscars. Did you get to any of my conversation with John?
I did. I think I'm about an hour in, I think. And every time you say Oscars, John, I love John. He's a great guy. And, you know, I've met him a number of times. But every time you in that thing say Oscars, he tells you a story that goes that way. And so I haven't gotten to the Oscars bit yet. If you do.
We do. But we talk Oscars, especially towards the end. I kind of steer him back a little bit. I ask some pointed question, not poignant. That's up to you to decide. Pointed questions at like being an Academy member, what it's like. And, you know, so I do get to some stuff there, but John and I love tangents. John can go on tangents. As you could tell, like, I got to get off today. I had to get off last night, and it was late for him. He was literally laying down. I'm looking at him on the screen, and he's like laying in a, it was awesome. Right. Yeah. So we get off, we hang up, and I go up to eat my dinner before I go back to work. And I'm like getting my, like, ready to go back to work. This is like 45 minutes after we recorded, and he's sending me links for stuff that we were talking about afterwards. And I'm like, do you ever sleep? And he goes, no, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I go, I say that too. My wife hates it.
Yeah, he's, John's an absolute legend, and he's got a billion anecdotes. And it was fun to hear him tell you the one about Hamish McAlpine at the BAFTAs, because he told me that one when I was with him and Hamish. Hamish thought it was very funny as well. So, the shouting out to Woody Allen on live TV. So both he and Hamish, you know, were laughing uproariously about it. So he's great, but I didn't get to the Oscars bit yet.
At the end, he does another great story about when he's signing in. So I'll let you guys get there if you've seen it, or if you have heard it, don't want to spoil it. It's a great one. I hadn't heard it yet. I hadn't heard that story yet or from anyone. And, I was like, wow, that was awesome. I went up and told my wife that one too, but, it's definitely worth listening to. So, your take on the Oscars there, Steve, I'll admit I didn't watch it live. I was very happy. I got up in the morning. I looked and I went through YouTube, saw a bunch of the stuff, did all that. And I mean, very happy to see, you know, Oppenheimer here. That's awesome. You know, and what where did Evil Dead Rise land? I didn't Oscar night.
It's funny you should mention that because, it apparent, right now I'm gonna be careful. I'm not gonna tell tales out of school. I've had a discussion with someone. You know who, but I don't want to tell tales out of school. I've had a discussion with someone about that, and it was apparently going to be submitted for the BAFTAs over here. So that's the British, you know, the British Oscars, basically. But it costs, I am told, £36,000 to essentially submit it for consideration. Now, bearing in mind, I mean, the movie made a lot of money, but I mean, I'm sure they're not about to reinvest that kind of money in it. So it was apparently going to be submitted, not for Best Picture. I'm assuming it would have been, you know, visual effects or something. Something like that. But there was talk about it. And this person who's in a position to know, was saying, look, you know, there had been talk about it. I think Evil Dead Rise was robbed, obviously, at the Oscars, cruelly snubbed, worse than Barbie. You know, other than that, in the Steve George Oscars, it was, you know, it was 15, swept the board.
It was Oscar the Grouch's award, but that's
So Godzilla
Minus One got the visual effects.
Yeah. I still haven't seen effects. Still have not seen it.
I'm dying to see it at home.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, that's one that they've announced the Japanese release, which is apparently like four discs, and it's all the singing and dancing and some amazing artwork. But it's not been announced anywhere else. So I think that might be one I pick up from over there. Because I can't wait to see it. Fingers crossed. Any luck, they've been holding off for the announcement for the Oscars to then kind of blitz the UK and US markets with it. So fingers crossed.
That one I've been wanting since it came out. I just didn't get the opportunity to see it. But the one that really popped up to me, and I do it every year pretty much, is sound, and the Zone of Interest one for sound. And I immediately bought that yesterday morning. I was like, oh my God. Cause I was hoping Oppenheimer, I own all the other ones, and we've talked about, Maestro. I don't own that one, and I haven't seen it yet. But it was nominated. But The Creator, Mission Impossible, you know, Dead Reckoning, Oppenheimer, obviously we talked about all those. I was hoping Oppenheimer would get it, but the fact that it didn't, and how good all those other ones that lost are, and this one gets it, I'm like, you gotta buy it, you know?
So. Yeah, I must admit, I don't know anything about it other than John's, I think it was a tweet. It might've been a text. He likes to tweet and text. He called it an absolute masterpiece. I think he absolutely loved it. What is it? I mean, what's it about? I don't even know anything about it.
It's on the level of like Schindler's List. Okay. So it's about a Nazi concentration. It's like right outside a Nazi concentration camp during the war. And, I read the synopsis of it on Kaleidoscape when it dropped there, and I was like, oh, okay. And I'd heard John talk about it, well, tweet about it, and I'd heard other people talk about it. That's a great movie. So I was, you know, always considering getting it when I had an opportunity. But then when you see it's a winner, I'm like, okay, there you go. Gotta buy it. And I'm like, holy crap. So, but John, we did talk about it yesterday. In today's show, in the Takeover Tuesday today, he does talk about it. And he says it's difficult. It's hard to watch and it's brutal, but it's a must, you know, much like, you know, Schindler's List and a lot of others.
Yeah. I mean, well, quite. Well, you kind of owe it to yourself and, you know, to educate yourself about it. And you kind of have to, so just so we're not ignoring the chat. So Rach says, the visual effects on Evil Dead Rise are amazing. Oh yeah. Evil Dead Rises. Is that a sequel, Rach? Is that what we're talking about? I mean, Evil Dead Rises.
Rises.
That sounds like Aliens.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that's it. That'll be the sequel. Okay. You've heard it here first.
And then Jordan. If they could have submitted themselves, they probably could have been in for sound too. Because, I mean, that was hands down. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah,
you know, what they did there.
Yeah.
Well, if it wasn't for that, it's a really horrible movie.
That we'll always have to have the bright
you just
side
own in a song.
Yes, the creepy laugh. And then Jordan says in the chat, so horror deserves more recognition at the award ceremonies. Horror fans have the Dead Meat Awards. That's a new one, Jordan. I've never heard of those. I've heard about the Bloody Disgusting Awards and those kinds of things, but I've never heard of that. All right, I have to look at that.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that. And then Don then says the sequel is to Evil Dead Rise will be directed by a Frenchman, Sébastien Vanisek. And directed a French movie called Infested, Vermine in France. I haven't seen that. Yeah. Okay. There we go. I mean, it made a ton of money. Whatever you and I say about it in terms of the movie. Yeah. And in fact, maybe it's because of what we say about the movie. It made a ton of money. But it's, I think, it's going to, the sequel's dead cert. It's just a case of when it's coming out. I can't wait. Wow. Can't wait.
I'll probably have to see it, but it's not my choice.
Ooh. Horror movie with spiders. Ooh.
In May. Out in
but
France
not in English subtitles. Don, my French isn't too bad, but it's not that good. So, that's not going to be good. Oh, that's a shame. I'll keep an eye out for that then. With an English subtitles.
So, did anything else jump out at you at the Oscars?
So, obviously.
You were going to join us yesterday. You couldn't make it, but.
Obviously the Ryan Gosling was just absolutely awesome. I mean, I thought that was fantastic. And I've watched that more times already than, you know,
the decent. Singing?
Yeah. It was so funny. Oh, and just awesome. Watching them corpsing as it's going on was just very, very cool. Very well done. In fact, if you get time, there are videos up now from people with their phones in the audience. So you can see how they shot it, which is quite fun in and of itself. So you can see how he pops up with Slash and where he runs and all that, which is quite fun.
Oh, wow.
But that was great. John Cena was great, obviously, all that stuff. And I didn't watch it live either. I typically avoid the Oscars. I haven't seen it for years and years and years because it is long and it's boring for the most part. And John is right when he says, you know, it was all night here. You know, literally the sun's coming up when it was finishing and, you know, who's got time for that when you've got work the next day? But having said that, I mean, I'm really glad Oppenheimer did as well as it did. You know, it's good to see Cillian Murphy. Apparently, I was being told earlier today, Cillian Murphy is the first Irish person to win an Oscar.
Really?
Now, I said to this friend of mine, this is the thing, right? And I'm like, well, hang about. Peter O'Toole, Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, people like this, and apparently they're not Irish. They're born
in
England.
They're not 100% Irish.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, so apparently he's the first true Irish-born winner, apparently, of Best Actor. This is
right.
That was a surprising bit of trivia. Wow. But yeah, but definitely, you know, well worth it. And obviously Robert Downey Jr., it's about time he won.
Oh my God.
So, you know, he was great, but I would have liked to have seen Barbie win a bit more. I must admit, because that's another worthy movie. They both, if you go into this sort of thing, saved cinema last year. And so they both deserve proper recognition.
Right. I think they kind of elevated each other too. Right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. if only one of them came out, you get half the talk.
Yeah.
Right? And it made people, like, if only Barbie had come out, I'd be like, oh, okay. And it's like, but everybody talking about Barbenheimer or, you know, Oppen Barbie. Did you see that clip?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That was really good too. If only one, you don't get what was fun is it wasn't a controversy. It was just a conversation. It was like, they're amazing how much they're alike, but yet so different in what they're doing. And that, you know, I think they elevated each other, which is rare to see in movies where, you know, you go back to Wonder Woman 1984 being delayed because it doesn't want to go head to head with something. And that didn't work out so well for them.
No. And also, you know, the number of people doing double bills. I mean, Meg did, didn't she? Meg did,
opening day, the Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did she did the true Barbenheimer that one day.
Yeah. So, I mean, it became a bit of a cultural phenomenon and the film is so good and so profound and so clever in terms of its approach to what should have been a completely disposable, IP. And makes it something essential. And it is a shame that even if Greta Gerwig, because she wasn't even nominated, was she, for Best Director, which I think is a real snub. And to a certain extent makes the point that Barbie makes about, you know, the patriarchy and all the rest of it. One wonders if there's, you know, there's a little bit in there, but
I'm going to do a bright side on that. And it's a stretch by every stretch of the imagination, right? I know it's a stretch, but isn't it more or at least equal that they didn't nominate her? Right? Because the movie is about just that. Like, women don't get the fair shake or they have to do extra to do this. And now here you have, and she did a great job. Don't get me wrong. Mm. But had they nominated her and then she doesn't win, it's like, or if maybe she would win, I don't know. But had she been nominated, isn't that in a way being like, placating to like, well, that's what the movie's about. You gotta win. The fact they did it, and you know that they're sensitive. I mean, they're sensitive to this stuff. The Academy is, and they like to do. So doesn't that kind of maybe even point the finger to, okay, they're balancing it out. Like, she didn't win. It just because you're a woman that makes a movie about women's equality doesn't mean you're gonna be like, well, you're a shoo-in. No, you know, cause other women have won, before. You know, what, what's her name? Hurt Locker. Didn't she win?
Catherine Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she won. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they don't.
No, quite. But if the film was middling or it had, you know, critical acclaim, but no box office or vice versa, I'd understand that viewpoint more. Cause then you're like, well, okay, genuinely, maybe they just didn't think much of it. But everybody thinks that film was such an achievement.
Yeah.
Apart from obviously, you know, present company excluded, if John is in the chat, Academy members. You know, it would appear that they didn't quite feel that it had reached a level enough to be for recognition. And I mean, a nomination can be as good as a win. You know, at least it says your work was worthy of recognition and the film is so good. And I think we've all seen most of the kind of the big movies of the year and, you know, the worthy movies of the year, if you want to put it that way. And, you know, if it was Killers of the Flower Moon or Barbie, I know which one I'm going for, and it ain't Killers of the Flower Moon.
No.
So,
oh, God.
You know, in terms of, you know, you ask how I felt about it, that was disappointing. I would have liked to have seen Barbie do better. But, you know, it doesn't mean the movie's not good. It doesn't mean we can't have the movie. You know, it doesn't mean we can't enjoy the film. It's just a little bit of a shame about that. But, yeah, so Godzilla – yes, please. I'll have that whenever they drop that. Can't wait for that. And Oppenheimer is a worthy winner. And it was interesting, you know, John talking to you last night about Nolan and his working with him, because I've you know, spoken to John at length about that as well in private conversations. And, you know, it is good to see him recognized and to get the Oscar that he's been craving, obviously, for a long time. And I mean, you can't argue with the worthiness of the man in terms of the, you know, the work that he's put in. And if not an Oppenheimer, although it should be, of course, you know, you name all the other movies he's done, which are worthy. I mean, you know, it's fine. No, it was good. I, you know, over generally happy, just would have liked Barbie to have won a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit more recognition would have been nice, but Hey, somebody gets snubbed every year, right? It's like,
well,
every
I mean,
year
it happened
like,
to Chris Rock. He got snubbed and slapped. I mean, you know, it could have been worse.
Oh, geez. Nice. Nice segue.
All right. I noticed actually they're filming Bad Boys 4 at the moment. And I think it's pretty much the first movie Will Smith's done. You know, now he's getting out of movie jail. And it's, I've seen some B-roll footage of them filming that, but it must be awkward, mustn't it?
Is Chris Rock in it?
He's a villain.
It'd be awesome. That would be so good.
I don't think they've forgiven one another, though. I don't think he thinks it's funny.
I'm sure Will Smith is probably forgiven him. I'm sure, but Chris Rock, on the other hand, would be like, what the?
Yeah. Fire my agent.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you want to get to, let me get to first house image. We'll start from there and then we'll hit one of yours. This image here was last Wednesday. So I'm trying to, this is where we were last Wednesday. Obviously we finished up the peak in the middle. We've got the ledge coming all the way across finished. And then we were about to start on the, this is where the farmer's porch is going to go. And we will see progress on that in a second.
I think this is the most recent one you've sent me. I think this is the most recent one I've seen. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it looks amazing. Yeah.
Thanks. Let me see where we are. What's next? Oh yeah. So then this one, I don't know why I took it that way. This one was me there the next morning.
From the car.
So I was texting Brett Bjorkqvist early in the morning. This is at like 7 o'clock last Thursday. So this was Thursday. We did mostly inside stuff that day. So I was just telling him, I'm like, hey, I'm here. And they're like, this is what I'm doing. So like we were trying to get together and do a show together. But he's got a bunch of projects going on and I'm clearly it's like, I was like, look at mine. And so, this is us Thursday morning inside. And it's, you know, it's crazy. Everything's soaked, but this was Friday, sunnier day. We did the stairs here. So now I don't have to climb up a ladder to get to my attic. We can't do the stairs to the basement till we pour the basement floor. But, so this is pretty much where we were at on Friday. And then I will show you, more, actually, let me see. What else do we get? Stairs going up. Oh yeah. So that's
the porch.
That's from Saturday. So we'll get to that.
And again, from that picture there, geez, that last one there you just put up there.
The stairs?
To the left of the stairs there. That the way that picture's taken, that looks ginormous.
Well, it is because it's not divided out yet. And you'll see later, but this is the slider from our, like, there'll be a dining room table in front of this. Cause that's the kitchen going back behind the stairs there. But then right here, if you're looking on YouTube, right here, there's a, there'll be a wall coming across. This is the slider from our master bedroom. So all of that's getting divided out and you'll see as it's going, you know, I put up a bunch of walls today too. So we'll see that. So, it's all wide open right now, but it's crazy. It's crazy. Everybody keeps saying your house is huge. Trust me. It's not. all right. Let's see. Yeah, that's that one that you said that's the one I put into the show to market. All right. You ready for this one, Steve?
Yeah, go for it.
All righty then. Here we go.
Okay. So this is, yeah, well, no, I mean, this is Contagion, the Steven Soderbergh film, from 20, oh, I can't, you know what? I can't remember the year. Not that long ago though. So on 4K UHD disc, and, DTS HD Master Audio 5.1. Now tell me this, Deej. And when I first got this disc, I tweeted this out, but we could ask this to you and to anyone in the chat as well. 2011. Thanks, Steve. Thank you, mate. Is there a film in modern times that has been so overtaken by world events that it is a completely different experience watching it? I mean, the only other one I can come up with is Rambo 3. Because of obviously all of the Afghanistan stuff, the, you know, right. Troutman saying we've had our Vietnam, now you're going to have yours. And, you know, and of course the film is dedicated to the Mujahideen who became the Taliban. So right. That movie is a completely different experience. You watch it now, it's a totally different movie. But this one, bearing in mind the pandemic, essentially the events of this movie happened for real. And only, you know, a very short time, really. I mean, comparatively 2011, a comparatively short time after the films come out, and it is totally different. And I'll, and get this, Deej. The last time I saw this was January of 2020. Oh, and geez. I know it was then because I thought to myself
you
on
thought
a
it
night
was a joke.
I had some time. I thought, well, there's been talk about this coronavirus in China and like, wow, let's watch this and just let's let our imaginations run riot.
I watched Outbreak.
Well, same thing. Monkey Killer. So it's so just, but that's Ebola, isn't it? Whereas this is a respiratory disease from China. So I saw it in January of 2020. Yeah, thinking, oh, you know, let's just see how this goes. Little did we know. So it's watching the film now is a very different experience. It's a very sobering experience. It's actually, I think, you could almost bring on a degree of post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
Because there are things in this that bring back memories that I think many of us have forgotten. And, you know, that lockdown stuff, the people spreading these kind of conspiracy theories, the way in which the government were dealing with it, all these different things going on. It is a very, very difficult watch now.
Yeah.
And that does not mean the film is not a great film. It is a great film, but it is a hard, hard watch. In fact, you know, indeed, we talk about Schindler's List. This film is supposed to be a drama, almost a procedural, I think, this film. And yet when you rewatch it now through the prism of COVID, it's almost like Schindler's List.
Yeah.
And the film has completely changed because of world events. So I watched it. It was the film I expected it to be, but as I said, with some extra stuff that I'd forgotten about, which kind of, you know, rings all the more difficult in 2024. Now, in terms of the home theater experience,
let's get to the bright
we'll
side.
It down. Let's bring it up again.
Exactly.
I'm pleased to report it looks really, really nice. This one has been given, it's a Warner's disc. And of course, they do great back catalog remasters generally. But what I didn't realize until seeing it like this, because it's obviously it's in HDR and with the wider color gamut, is how much the filters that are used throughout really affect the mood of the film. So you've got a very kind of yellow filter for anything set kind of in the past. You've got the kind of bleached blue filter for the stuff set in, I think it's Wisconsin. And the wider color gamut really brings that out and the HDR really works with that. It's very, very detailed. It was shot digitally. And so it looks amazing. And because there are no real big action sequences in it, the camera is kind of locked off or at least not moving very much. And that just lets the details really shine. So you can see every little pockmark, every little blemish on actors' skins and faces. It does highlight some of the makeup effects a little bit though, unfortunately, but not too much. And it also sounds really good. Now it'll be upmixed to Dural X. Where it was when I watched it.
Yeah.
And there are sequences in kind of like hangars where they're setting up these mobile hospitals. There are sequences in casinos where Gwyneth Paltrow first encounters the people that may or may not have the virus, and all the voices are all around the room. So it really feels like you're in this casino, and you can hear slot machines going in the distance. You can hear chatter and everything going around. So it's really effective and not something you'd expect from, as I say, what I think is just a procedural. It's a drama, really. It's not an action movie. It's not a horror movie. It is just, it's a drama and a procedural. Curiously enough, apparently the story goes, the British government were using this for their early stage planning as well. Anyway, enough said. So it's very, very effective. And if anyone is kind of looking for a movie that is a very sobering experience and you want decent 4K audio and video, then this is well worth picking up. But again, with that warning of it wasn't that long ago. And when you watch it again now, it's very different. But it's a worthy film and I'm really glad I own it. And I suspect in kind of 10 years time, when the children that were children at the time have grown up a bit, this will be a film to show them, and it'll be curious to see kind of how they respond to this. This could become quite an important historical document, bizarrely. I think it genuinely could.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say is like, it's funny when, you know, art imitates life, but then when life imitates art. You know, and it's like people don't get these ideas out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And it's like we see it back in 2011 and be like, well, that's far fetched. Mm. And then when you see it play out and it stuff like that doesn't happen overnight. It's like our memory of, you know, COVID in 2020 and the progress of it, our memory is kind of compressed. You forget like how it, I mean, yes, it took like 6 months before we were like, oh crap, this went south fast. And that, but it still took like 6 months. It doesn't happen overnight. When you go to see a movie like this, you're like, you in a 2 hour movie, like, ah, that could never happen. So you don't see it coming. And then as it's happening and playing out, you're like, wait a minute. 6 months later, like, isn't this Contagion? Like, wait a minute.
Someone shall cut. Where's Matt Damon?
Yeah, exactly. What happened?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? So, but it is a good reminder of, and that's, you know, you look at stuff like this, like I said, you look at Oppenheimer, you look at the movie JFK, you look at things that expose stuff to you, but it also shows you like the repetitiveness of history and human nature and who we are and what happened. That's all this stuff is. It's all human nature. It's like how, you know, some people are geared to do one thing and other people are geared to do another, right? It's like the fight or flight type thing. And when you have like incidents like this, it's like now you've got those two different types of people. They have no choice in the matter. It's how they're made up, but now they're fighting each other because they're like, but I want to do this and I want to do this. And this, that's, it's so funny because that's what movies like this. I really think, I don't know Contagion. I know the movie, but I don't know the writers and stuff. But when you start to write about something like this, it's based on human nature. And now what scenario can I put the way people react to things into, right? I'll do this. So they made a movie about like Contagion. And then all of a sudden it really plays out in real life because that's human nature. That's what happens to us. It's like it's funny. That's all I can do is laugh. I'm like, oh, well. And guess what, everybody? It's going to happen again because it's human. It's who we are. Just, you know, try to learn from it.
Mm.
Fun.
Yeah. And if not, just watch this in your home theaters. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is well worth picking up. It's interesting. It's been released now.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, I don't think so either. But yeah, it is good. It's a very sobering movie, but well worth seeing. And you know, Steven Soderbergh, frankly, was eerily on the money as to how this kind of played out. There's a couple of things that, you know, it pushes a little far, but mainly it really does hit exactly kind of how it unfolded. So we've got Jordan in the chat just saying it's an incredible and hard hitting watch. And crazy how much was predicted. There we go. In regards to the COVID-19 pandemic, and especially in regard to Lord's character and the conspiracy theories, you know, the stuff about, you know, the so-called cures and them not being kind of available and all this stuff. It is pretty scary stuff, but you know, riveting nonetheless. It's never boring. So well with Singh. But the only thing it didn't do, I think, is go as far as showing world leaders contracting it. That it never went there. And I wonder whether they thought, no one will believe that. No one's going to believe the president could get it. No one's going to believe that a prime minister of a major country could get it. And yet it happened. And so I think they thought that was too far. And yet, you know, again, real life just
real life. It. It's But that's why I say, like, it, you know, like what Jordan said, it's like how much it predicted, but it really just predicted how we would react. Right. Mm. So like, everybody, just take a lockdown, for instance. Everybody's told to lock down. Some people are going to be like, oh, we got to do what we're told. And other people are going to be like, why? Human nature. It's two different types of people. Neither side is wrong. You need both, right? And then what you need is the debate. And then, like, okay, now who's right? Who's wrong? What's happening? But and you have, that's human nature. Not everybody is exactly the same. So, and that's what contagion points out. And then we had it pointed out to us.
Yes, we had a real lesson. Now we need to just wait for the sun to be sort of dying and then find out whether if we do send people straight to the sun to reignite it, how that will go.
Right.
Tune in about 1,000 years time.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's see. What do I want to do for? Let me do an update on this here, because this has really been my saving grace from everything that's going on, and it's really what I've been watching consistently here. And still very much enjoying. I'm into season two. This is on Disney Plus. Disney Plus with 5.1 audio. HD, this is Marvel's Daredevil that originally was on Netflix. This is actually was a Netflix production, at the time. And I wish I had the time to stamp out these scenes for you. And I will, I'll find the time because it definitely deserves it. This show has just, let me tell you this. Go to anybody that has Disney Plus, right? Everybody watching and listening. I know you all have great systems. So at least a 5.1 system, that's what this is, right? Throw on Disney Plus and just watch the opening a bunch of times. The sounds in the music hovers in front of you. But the back, whoosh, there's swooshes that go from, and you can, this is what I do every morning, 5:30 every morning. I'll finish an episode. Okay. When the credits roll, I back it up at about 30 seconds because I want to hit play, push play with 30 seconds to go and then roll in to the opening of the next episode. I don't want to miss a second because even the of the Marvel logo, watch that on your screen. Because when this came out in 2015, I'm pretty sure everybody listening and watching have a better display than they had in probably 2015. And it's a little bit more sophisticated. And watch the Marvel logo change. And then it turns into this flat, almost like the words turn into this white paper, and there's a gradation to it that looks like paper. Then that fades away. We go into an opening scene, and then the opening, you know, logo trailer plays, right? And that ends like this, and maybe you can see it on YouTube, maybe you can't, but you could see the blood in the word Daredevil, like the texture of it. The 4K, it's not even 4K, I'm sorry. The image for this is amazing. There's little speckles in it. Like it purposely there. It's not artifacts. But the audio, just on this scene alone, just on this opening scene, every morning when I hear it and you hear it's like a whoosh go back and forth, left to right, listening to the audio, the music hover in front of you. And you'll get a lot out of it if you just sit there and listen and like I've done a couple of times, close your eyes. I mean, he's blind. Knock yourself out. Close your eyes and enjoy those sounds. But there's many scenes in this that I'm just been like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, let me show you a couple of the, back out of here for a second so I can pull it up. I actually texted John, I'm like, is this not one of your, like, do you remember where you were when this happened? And it's like, so here it is. It's not a spoiler. It's Daredevil. You know, he gets a suit someday. There it is. And it is beautiful. Like that scene right there when they actually bring him in on one side and the camera comes across and freezes right there of him and then the city behind him. And I did everything I could to try to capture this with the right colors and everything. The colors on like these lights over here that I'm showing on YouTube, those are way more blue on my screen. These lights up here were a little bit more blue on this building, but just that look. And this is when he first gets the suit, his real suit in this series. It just looks, it's just beautiful. But then you go from there. It's like, so this, I won't give it do, do, do. And that's another scene that's straight out of a comic book. And that's why they did that scene right there. So it just looks so good. It's so good. Loving the show, loving it, like all the audio. Season 3 is in Atmos. So I'm looking forward to that. But I did get a chance to watch some of another movie. We'll talk about it a little later and I'll have an update on, I'll actually update Daredevil as well. But if you've never seen it, I highly recommend Daredevil on Disney Plus. But at the very least, go watch that. Like I said, the opening credits. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. What's Paul saying? Oh, Paul's saying Daredevil was the reason, as Paul Hurt in the chat, was the reason I originally signed up to Netflix. Daredevil had its ups and downs, but overall felt like a new era in TV. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Season 1 definitely does. Going to season 2, I loved it at the time. I did feel like there's a slight drop in storytelling. Like there, the season 1 was a lot like Batman Begins kind of storytelling. And then now we're getting into their expanding the universe. I'm actually probably going to, not sure if I'm going to finish this season 100% before I go back and watch Jessica Jones. That one, that's the one that came out in between. Daredevil season 1 came out, then Jessica Jones season 1 came out, then Daredevil 2, then Luke Cage. And then I won't rewatch Iron Fist. I'll watch Luke Cage season 1 again, but yeah, awesome. Really, really good stuff. So, all right, let's get you back up here. Man, buddy, I tried so hard. We'll talk about it when we get to it.
Oh no.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All righty. Here we go.
Okay. So this is The Raid 2. The sequel to The Raid, funnily enough. So because last week I got very, very excited indeed about the 4K release of The Raid 1 and in the US called The Raid : Redemption. Yep. And I absolutely loved that original film. And now, because I'm slightly concerned that he's got it. When you say you tried,
oh wait, nobody in the chat can see because I've got this up. There you go.
There you go. So all right, so you haven't unwrapped it yet. Thank God for
no,
that.
No, still in its cellophane.
I thought you meant I tried, as in I couldn't finish it. So
no. So okay. Here's what I did mean.
Panic me like
watched,
that, did you?
I watched. I didn't watch The Raid. I bought The Raid in 4K. Right. Yeah. I saw you add The Raid 2. Early last week. So I was like, all right. And this was back before Thursday where I thought I had time. I thought it was going to rain this weekend. I told you that in the show last week, or maybe we talked after it, right? I'm like, I'm going to get some time. So I bought, obviously this came the day after the show that came on Wednesday, the Blu-ray, the 4K. When you posted this in our posts, I was like, oh, I went on Kaleidoscape And I saw you have it only in HD. So I was like, all right, Kaleidoscape has it in HD, but they have it as a package for $14. You get both. So I'm like, bang, I bought both on Kaleidoscape. I was going to watch one in 4K, compare it to that, watch two, have a great show. And it's like, no, I get to show you more raw lumber.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Deej, honestly, for one horrible moment there, I genuinely thought you were going to say, oh, I couldn't get into it. And I would have been mind blown. So because since last week, I've had tweets and I've had texts and I've had kind of like DMs from people. And Dan Carpenter, Danny Speaks, is one of them, just going, wow. And people that have seen it for the first time and have picked it up and had their minds blown. So if you'd said I couldn't get into it, it would have been like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was last week. And as I said, I waxed lyrically, got very excited about the raid. And you know, still feel the same. I then got and Dom says, don't buy the raid 2 in the USA. It's cut. UK Blu-ray is uncut. Dom, this is the UK Blu-ray. I got this one. It is again sequel, as I say, but it's a very different genre to the first one. And frankly, you'd have never got to see both in a week with what your commitments are at the moment. Because whereas the Raid 1 is sort of 1 hour 40 lean and mean, this is a totally different genre. This is a gangster epic that has loads of martial arts in it, but it's 2.5 hours long.
Oh.
Yeah, so you would have never got them both in. This took me several
sittings. Looking forward to those days when I can have that amount of time.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it's a different genre. It is kind of like an Indonesian version of The Departed. It's that kind of story. It continues straight after the first one where you've got Rama, who's the guy you see there, who's kind of the lead, who is then kind of goes in undercover to try and infiltrate a crime syndicate. And things unveil from there and unravel from there. It is a very different movie. It's a lot more complex. There's a lot more going on in it than the first one, which is just a load of cops go into a building and all hell breaks loose. This is a bit more grown up in terms of how it's been done. And you know, whether it's successful or not, I think is open to some debate. There are certainly some people who say it does go on a bit and there are sequences that are longer than they need to be in terms of story and plot and everything else.
Yeah.
But I don't really bump into that because the plot is there but around that are some of the most inventive, brutal, graphic fight sequences that have ever been committed to film. You know, there's a fight in a prison yard all in the mud. You know, talk about Batman Begins. Well, Batman Begins is like a playground fight compared to this stuff that you see in this. You know, there's fights in cars, which are reminiscent of Deadpool. But again, this was done all without CGI. This is all done real. And then there are, you know, and you'll never look at metal base bats and claw hammers the same way again. Not telling you anything more about it. And there are some fight scenes in this that just go on and on and on. And as they build, you just look at it going, how are they doing that? And you're kind of looking through your fingers. Oh my God. Have they really just done that? And which is why Dom there is absolutely, right to say get an uncut version because there's blood and guts aplenty in this. And as I said, if you're working on a building site, DJ, you are, like I say, you'll never look at claw hammers again the same way. Because when you've seen that woman there with two of them, it's messy.
Yeah.
It is a more grown up film. It's a longer movie. It's more complex, but it is worth whatever kind of slower pace there might be because when you get to the fight scenes, it is incredible. And as I said, if you've got the first one, you've now got this on Kaleidoscape. So get some time when you can and give this a go. Obviously only after the first one. And you'll love it, Deej. You'll be talking endlessly about it. And you'll be recommending it to everybody you know because everyone has the same reaction, which is, did you see that? So it's great. Yeah, I really recommend it. And again, I will reiterate my recommendation about watching it with Joe if you can as well. Because knowing him, kind of how I know him and from what you've said about him and stuff, he'll get a real kick out of this as well.
Oh, yeah.
So if he's able to see it even on his own, he'll get a kick out of it. But again, the two of you will then have endless discussions about, did you see that?
Yeah. You know what's funny is I'm turning into the old man, and he's really bringing up the mantle of the bright side. Because like I was at that age, like everything's awesome. Everything's great because it's what you do is you see the good and you dismiss the bad. Like not everything's great, but if you dismiss the bad and you can enjoy everything, you know, except for one certain movie, but if you, we all have that one, right? So, but he really does. He's like, I'll be like, that was okay. And he goes, that was great. Like, but as you age, you start to compare more, and it's harder to say something's great because you've seen so much, and so much you've seen is great that to say something is equal to that, you're like, that's not fair, right?
That's not going to happen. Yeah.
So it's harder to do. It's not a bad thing. It's not like we're getting to be grumpy old men. We just have more experience.
More to compare it with. Yeah, exactly. So Jordan, we've got some disagreements in the chat. So Jordan says the Raid 2 is a great sequel. We love that it wasn't a repeat of the first one, which is absolutely true. And many incredible fight sequences, which again is true.
Yep.
And then Paul, sensibly, because this is a definite, you know, bone of contention. Yeah. People are saying this. It lacks the tightly focused premise of the first movie. And yeah, it does, but it tries to swing for the fences. It tries something different. And says it's fine and it's long and it feels it. Yeah. I mean, I get that, Paul. I don't disagree with it, but I find the kind of the longer sequences, they do build character. And also, you know, it's worth it because it kind of just builds. You're just like, come on in. When's the next fight? And when the fights come, you know, it all is forgiven.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's great about, like, I mean, just Jordan and Paul's comments. It's one of those, you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't, right?
Like,
if you make the same movie, everybody goes, it's just the same movie. And then, but some people are like, but it was great. So I loved the second one too. But then if you try to do something different, you'd be like, and I'm not saying Paul's like, but it's like, you know, there is a focus so that he enjoyed that. So it's like, you can, you know, like when you hear bands, like, it's just the same stuff. Yeah. Well, that's why they're called Van Halen. It sounds like Van Halen. You know, if they sounded like Nickelback, you'd be pissed.
Or Britney Spears. That'd be really different. And especially with martial arts movies. I mean, we went through the Ip Man movies, didn't we, last year? And they are great movies, and I love them all. But one of the kind of the slight critiques all three, you, John, and I all had was they are kind of the same movie each time, but it's the same sort of thing. And I remember John saying about it and it is it very much sticks to it. Whereas in this one, Gareth Evans, who's the director, who's, as I said to you, he's a Welshman, but you know, lives in Indonesia and shoots Indonesian films. And he definitely tried to break the formula here. Thought, look, I'm going to do something different, love it or hate it. This one does have its detractors. No getting away from that. Whereas the first one, everybody loves it. No one ever says anything bad about that. But this one has definitely got its kind of its fans and its detractors. But I think it's well worth seeing, even if you know if you're short on time, just forward to the fight scenes because they are bonkers and violent as anything, and are well worth it. And on a nice big screen with your sound up. And I watched this in NeuralX and it's in DTS HD 5.1 and the crunching of the bones and the strikes of the baseball bats and the hammers and the knives and the machetes and everything else are awesome in your home theater. So it's a great theater movie. And I do really recommend,
would you say it was enhanced?
By the delivery system. I think it might be. Deej, you know, you mentioned about we all have our film that we don't like, just while I think about it. And obviously mine is The Fifth Element. All right. It's the one for anyone that's new and that's listening. Let's see if we watch the listener numbers drop or the viewer numbers drop. So for me, it's The Fifth Element. I can't stand that film. The person that we were obliquely referring to earlier, is in the film. He worked
Raid
on
2
it.
Or Fifth Element?
Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Worked
yeah.
on it. And he's in it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. And he sent me a text in the week saying it. And I'm like, but it's still crap.
Yeah, but now you got to go see it.
Yeah, well,
you
yeah,
own it. Do you own it, or no, you don't even own it?
No, never, oh, no. never seen it after the cinema. Never owned it. Never bought it. Never got near
see,
it.
See, I think you've gone so, and we've joked about
yes,
this.
It's
so I
don't PTSD,
it, but it, but yeah, I know. But it's, but I think you've gone so far in one direction that like it's almost like you can't watch it now because what if you did like it?
Oh God, no! Don't do that to me.
All of a sudden, you're like, yeah. "Holy crap! That was really pretty funny. Yeah. It's pretty good."
It's possible. It's just I'm not about to give it the chance.
You don't want to give it the chance.
No, I can't. Well. No, man, no. I not. I mean, we talked once, didn't we, about it being sponsored as a kind of yeah. a, you know, is this a right. way to do it for thing? But otherwise, right. no, I can't. There's too much good stuff out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I love how we do it. It's like, you know, I've told that story just recently on the show, I think, about how people come up with the idea, like, why don't you, like, let us pick? And we're like, it's like, you know, and even you, like, when you first joined, like, regularly, you're like, how about we do it this way? And I explained to you, I'm like, it's hard. If all of a sudden it's like, because now it's like, especially me right now, it's like, imagine if I had to sit down and watch something.
Yeah.
So when was it? Oh, in the theater for you.
Yes. Yeah. 1995, 96. Yeah. Dom says, yeah. When was the last time I watched it? Literally in the theaters, opening weekend. Yeah. Cause I thought it was something like Star Wars. I'd been kind of told that it's going to be great. And Luc Besson has made some great movies and Leon, the professional is incredible action cinema, with some slightly strange idiosyncrasies, but still very good. And I thought, you know, his take on sci-fi, this is going to be great. And then I saw it and that was the end of that. And I so traumatized was I by this film that there's no rewatching it.
Yeah. I think the home theater experience, like Dom just said too, and other people have said before, it's like the home theater experience is amazing. The 4K is amazing. I've talked about it on the show and I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it like a lot of people. But the 4K with the Atmos, oh my God, that is enhancing the bejesus out of it. So
yeah, and I don't fall out with that. I'm sure it's lovely. Yeah. Just not for me.
Lovely. all right. Let's see. I want to get to here. All right. Let's get. Where did they go? Now where are you? All right. So this was. Now, where did they go? Oh man, they doubled up on me. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. So this is what happened to me over the weekend. So I thought I was going to be able to experience, you know, the raid and some other stuff and other things that I've bought. It's now sitting there. I also have, Conan in 4K sitting here waiting.
You've got the Australian version there, Deej. It's upside down.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah.
You held it upside. Oh no. All right. Okay. Now it's the US version.
You're lucky I'm not sitting like Mork on my head right now. It's like, because my brother-in-law would be in on Monday and blah, 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 blah. And they got to work Friday. So they went ahead and started the farmer's porch. And it's like, well, you got to get this stuff done. But there was rain scheduled. So here we go. This is what I did. I had to put up a 30 by 20 tent inside my garage so that I could stain everything you see here. So this has all been done with a clear stain varnish. All these little planks in the middle. So these will be the ceiling of our farmer's porch. And then you can see the posts here. And then after that, so this is what basically spent Saturday doing. And then that would protect it overnight. But I also had to get like images here, how to stain these. And I'll explain to you in a minute, stain all of this before the rain showed up. Right. Mm. And then, so everything's protected. Here it is. This was Sunday morning. I went back because if you look here, these weren't done yet. I didn't know what color. One of the issues with staining stuff is you don't know what color you're going to get. So you have to buy the stain, get it, test it. 1 gallon did all of these. So I had to go back and get more. So I finished these and you'll see on the image here. Sunday morning, rain has passed. It was storming Saturday night. So luckily everything was protected. fairly dried out by the morning. You could see on this picture here, the bottom of these posts on the farmer's porch. That's not stain. That's the natural color of the wood when it's wet. So this was taken as we were, my son and I were leaving because, you know, I can't just have a day to myself. So I early morning, get this stuff done, get it all unloaded. So it's ready for them to go on Monday. And then from here, I had to go to, there's Robbie. That's my brother-in-law, the framer, at his 50th birthday party. So that's where we went after that. And now you can see the next morning, that picture there, by the way, is reenacting at my sister's wedding. I don't know if I showed that before, but same thing. Anyways, this is what the farmer's porch looks like on after Monday. So from inside the farmer's porch, you see this is why I had to get it stained so that you didn't have to stain these beams while the roof of the ceiling was behind it. You see what I'm saying? So you don't want to get the stain on there. So it's good to get that's from each end of it. And that's what it looks like from the outside. Mm. And yeah, so that'll get all finished off and then it's all getting shingled this week. So, yeah, and there will be more later.
You know the bits of wood that you've got to sort of buttress it and kind of hold it up and to create your little platform as well. When you take that down, you see the bits of wood that you see, you've got the ladders there on the right, the little kind of the bracing. Yeah. So when you take that down, do you then fill in the holes that those leave?
Yeah.
Or does that
just
you could
fill that stuff. I mean, they naturally, the wood shrinks and I mean, it's not really that damaging. I can't stain those posts until we take those down. Mm. But I mean, you can see on this image here, the difference in color once you stain it, cause the top,
yeah.
this actual top beam isn't stained yet, but you can see it looks pretty close. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That looks solid as well, which I suppose you must need because when the wind whips through that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of lift it. You've got to make it absolutely rock solid.
And it's a different way of doing it. Like a lot of people around here, they don't have a farmer's porch like this. This is like my brother Robbie did his cabana by his pool like this. And these are like, what are those six? It might be six or I think they're 6x6 posts. Mm. Pretty thick, sturdy posts. They look it. Mm. Yeah. And those are lagged right into the ground. So it's like, that's not going anywhere. But yeah, it's a different look, than normally people just have a 4x4 or, you know, post. So it does look beefier, but I like it. So
yeah, yeah, it's good. When's the rocking chair coming? Have you pre-ordered it yet?
Yeah, no, not yet. Eventually. No, cause I will sit outside and relax, but I'll be in my theater, Steve.
Oh, that's true. So, that's true. Very true. Yes. Watching the raid for the 17th time.
Yeah. All right. What is this? This one here? What is this?
Okay.
Bring it. Let me bring it up for everybody here.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the completely made up adventures of Dick Turpin on Apple TV Plus. Now, when you liked the picture that I sent, I thought that meant you must have seen it.
No,
but obviously not.
I'm interested.
Now, okay. So this is a new release on Apple TV Plus. It is it's not really a sitcom. It's a comedy series, with a guy, a chap who's quite famous over here, Noel Fielding, I think his name is. And he is and he plays the role of Dick Turpin. He was a famous highwayman here, you know, the stand and deliver, you know, money all your life highwayman, in ye olde England and before my time. And this is a series which is kind of, it's a comedy series, really reimagining it. And he's a bit stupid and a bit silly and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of last week, as you guys know, if you were here last week, I had a long week teaching and it was very, very long and it was very, very tiring. And on one of those days, this had just come out. I'd seen some trailers to it and I thought, you know, it looked kind of stupid, but I was between sessions and I needed a lift. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to watch one of these. And they're only short. You can see there the episode's like 29 minutes, quite short.
Yeah.
And so I put it on. And I thought, on the iPad. Sorry, Deej. I was out and about. It's not, no choice. Although the room I was in fairness, the room I was in does have a projector and 150-inch screen. So theoretically, I could have connected that to my laptop and watched it, but I didn't. All right, sorry.
Oh, wow.
All right. Yeah. I've let the home theater gods down. So may they not strike me dead. So I watched this on the iPad, and lo and behold, 5 minutes in, I'm chuckling away. And by the end of the first episode, I'm like, that was actually really good fun. And then there are three up at the moment, and they're releasing them week by week. And so I then fairly quickly, within a few couple of days, watched them all. Now, do I recommend it? I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. But I'm enjoying it, and I think – and actually yeah, Van Gogh saying that it was great and funny. Is Van Gogh, is he American or English? I'm not sure. Do you know we had Van Gogh on the podcast? I'm not sure. Van Gogh, let me know if you're English or American, mate. I'd like to know. And the reason I want to know is I don't know if this kind of comedy will travel. I don't know if it's a very British sensibility, because there's a lot of play about the humorous first name that he's got. Okay, now in America, you can have that name, no one bats an eyelid. You cannot use that name in the UK without people constantly laughing.
But there's other far worse words you can use that we can't use.
Yeah, well, that is true. That is true.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, how is that okay?
Well, quite. But you can't use that surname, that Christian name. You just can't. But in the US, no one bats an eyelid. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm not even going to say the word dick. Oh, damn, I've said it.
Yeah.
And so it's so here you but can't.
But don't
be
you have
that.
Don't you have a food? Spotted dick.
Yeah. Well, quite. Yeah,
but so that, you can but say again, that.
Yeah, but that's something that they used to serve at school, and every kid in school then laughs their head off whenever you say it. All right. So it's
over here. You're going to the therapist.
Or a doctor.
You're shooting down to the pharmacy. What do you got?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, right. Oh, well done, Van Gogh. Yeah. Quite. Yes. Yeah. Penicillin.
That's right. Yeah. Van Gogh's, yeah. We weren't far from each other when I was out there. That's right.
Gotcha. Right. Brilliant. Okay. So Van Gogh, good to know. Okay. Because I wasn't sure if this comedy would travel, because it is a bit silly. And as I said, much play on his first name.
Benny Hill.
Not quite that. That was very, very 70. That's a little bit too far. But it's not as kind of surreal as Monty Python.
That played over here.
Yeah, it did. But it's not as surreal as Monty Python. It's kind of gentle humor with wordplay and that kind of stuff. But I found it very funny, and all three are really good. It's short. It is in Dolby Atmos. I've no idea why.
Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos.
Apple TV, isn't it? I think they just hit a button. You know, they if Apple TV ever do a news service, it'll be in Dolby Atmos and Dolby Vision, and exactly that. You know, the weather in Dolby Atmos.
Did you hear the Afghanistan report on Apple TV?
I gotta go watch
the news in my theater.
Put it back. That's it. Yeah. So, I don't know why they did that, and it's not needed. So it's not a particularly home theater experience necessarily, because it's not that kind of show, but it is fun. And it's worth seeing, and I did enjoy it. Again, on the understanding that if you like British humour, and Van Gogh saying he does, and that's good, then I think you'll enjoy it. There's a show over here for relatively young kids called Horrible Histories, which is a kind of funny look at various times in history. And this is by some of the same people, and you can tell that. But it's got slightly more risque and kind of over the top humour than that. But I thought it was fun, and I did watch one of the episodes with someone who is younger. And they got a real kick out of it and thought it was great, and are now jonesing for the next episode on Friday. So it's worth a watch, and it's nice and short.
I'll probably try it upstairs in my living room with my wife. Yeah. Well, maybe at dinner tonight.
Yeah. But don't blame me. If you look at it and you're going, it is just absolute crap.
I always
get that. It might be. That's true. So it might be. You might look at it and go, I don't get this. This isn't funny at all. But otherwise, but you might really enjoy it. And again, I mean, it looks as though there are people that have got some, there's some love in the chat. Jordan saying he really liked it. Fun to watch at the end of every week. And yes, there is a Carry On film called Carry On Dick. Yes, there is. But those are the Carry On movies, and they have their own problems.
I always carry on my dick. I never checked that at the airport.
Oh,
that
man.
One's for you, John.
Yeah, that was for yes, yeah. John is furiously typing somewhere. Right, I need to jump in.
Yeah. I never checked that.
Yeah. And Van Gogh says, I was wondering the same. Good picture, but don't know why it was that much. Yeah, I mean, me neither. It doesn't need it.
It only made me weigh it twice.
John, if you're in the chat, could you just jump in and just exercise some control here, please?
I got to take over for both of us.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say.
Miss you, buddy. Oh, all right.
So there we go. But yes,
it is a family show.
Yeah, and if you're, funnily enough, Deej, if you're into that kind of double entendre, you might really like this.
Because yeah, exactly.
At one point, a character does say, and I mean, it's not much of a spoiler because I think it's in the trailer, but one of the characters does talk about how he's a Hugh Bonneville, the guy that's in Paddington, posh English actor,
okay.
who is sort of the bad guy, and he's got a young son called Christopher who's 8, and he says in this, he said we need to get someone to catch this guy. He goes, I can't wait to have this dick in my hands, and his and his son starts laughing his head off, and he goes, oh, do grow up, Christopher.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah. Maybe you will get something out of it. You never
know. Oh yeah, I love that stuff. Like Modern Family, they do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's like you say stuff and you don't mean it. It's like there's this one girl at the bar, she's a bartender, and she says stuff all the time, and it's like you just stop in your tracks and go, did you mean to say that? Like, why did you say that?
She's got no double entendre filter at all.
No, none. And we laugh all the time. It's like I'll literally just walk into the bar and I'm just walking over to a seat in the back or something and I'll hear something. I'm like, come on. She's like, oh my God, you're here. Here we go. Oh, fun stuff.
Do I need to read that out? Perhaps I shouldn't.
Exactly. Yes.
That's one just for the YouTube viewers.
By all means, let's. All right. Let's get to my last film. And then this one here, to go back to The
Ooh,
Raid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Mm.
Dread in 4K, HDR, and Dolby Atmos. Whew. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to finish it. I got 3/4 of the way through it, and then I was expecting it to still be raining, and it wasn't, so I had to get to work. This was Saturday morning. But it is – I've done a whole show on this one, okay? And it is awesome. And here's why I said, like, when we were talking Daredevil earlier, I'm like – doing what I'm doing right now, where it's like every morning I get up and I watch the same thing. And this is all I'm really getting to take in. So it does sound amazing to me. It's streaming, but it sounds, I mean, you're just like, oh, it's first thing in the morning. But when you put on a proper 4K Dolby Atmos experience and your room explodes, things are shaking and it's that you're just like, welcome back, old friend. It's like, you just, even on Disney Plus, I mean, like I said, I'm loving Daredevil, but when you, it's fun to have that experience too, to hear the difference between a stream and then go to full-fledged, uncompressed, here we go. And this is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely amazing. The bass in this is awesome. The 4K is really good, but I will say this movie was made for 3D, and the 3D experience, I mean, a lot of the slow-mo, I was going to say the drug, but the slow motion scenes, they're shot for that 3D experience that you and I have discussed it in a lot of movies, even like Avatar. I do prefer them now in 4K because they are just that good. Mm-hmm. But this one here, if you can see it in 3D, if you have the capability, it's definitely worth it because like I said, when I did the whole show on this, they invented stuff for this to shoot it in 3D. Like that one scene when they blow a door open and they show the door come apart in slow motion.
The ripple effects. But that,
yeah, the ripple effects on the people and the blah, 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 and it's like, but to see that in 3D and it's like that sense of space that you get is so much extra as opposed to, yes, the 4K is nice, but it's fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not that there's that little bit extra for the 3D. And it's like one of the downfalls of 3D is always been it's like dimmer. Like your display usually can't do it the same. I feel like when they shot this, they knew that. So they heightened
it. Yeah, it's high contrast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you don't feel that at all. Especially like there'll be speckles and sparkles, you know, in because of the drugs they're using and stuff, and they're showing stuff in slow motion. Those things are bright, but then you have the nice dark scenes, and that plays really well in 4K. But you don't feel that drop, that dimmer drop, when you go to the 3D. So, it's just it was great to revisit it. I haven't watched this in a while, a couple of years, and much better than the other. Judge Dredd.
Which is your film. Your fifth element.
That's my fifth element. That's never to be seen again. But this one here, I want a sequel for it. I've heard that there's rumors of it, but.
I mean, in terms of the movie, I mean, this is the one that's closest to still see it in 3D, not 4K for me, but that's like Avatar as well. I think, although the 4K of Avatar, the new one is just fantastic. So I don't think there is any real thing there now, but Dreaded. Yeah. I still do prefer the 4K because I like the sound. The audio on this is just bonkers. And of course the 3D doesn't really have that, not to the same extent. And also I do like the kaleidoscopic effects again around the various springs and everything else, which again, it comes alive with the wider color gamut. And of course the enhanced contrast just pushes that even further.
Yeah.
So I think given the choice, I'd still just about go for the 4K just because I want all those other little bits, but there's no denying the 3D is amazing on it.
It is.
And you know, so I get that. In terms of a sequel, I mean, This is the one for me that is the most cinematic crime that we never got a Dredd sequel. And I don't think we ever will, because certainly not the same way. Alex, although having said that, I mean, Alex Garland and that, they're going back to 28 years later, after 28 days later. So maybe they could do one, but it wouldn't be with Carl Urban. You know, he's starting to get on a bit. He's probably aged out of the role already.
His jaw.
Well, but it's wrinkled. It's not the same. I mean, there's been talk of sequels. There's been talk of TV series that, you know, I think everybody kind of wants it. The problem is its box office just killed it. And as I said, a lot of people blame The Raid for that. Although I don't think that's a bit unfair. So Van Gaal said he got to meet Carl Urban at a convention. Good looking man up close. He's a Kiwi, Van Gaal, of course, a fellow Kiwis. We always look good up close. Just saying. So I mean, I'd love a sequel on this. And there was talk of The Dark Judges, and, you know, which would just be so cinematic and so amazing to see. But it's either a rights issue or it's a funding issue. Paul, just because he's saying, you know, is it a rights issue? My understanding is it's a funds issue. It lost money. It was a cinematic flop, unfortunately. Shouldn't have been, but it was. And it's the money. It's getting the money together, and it just doesn't seem like the people with the cash are prepared to stump it up. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised something like Amazon Prime and Netflix haven't just come in and gone, all right, we'll give you 50 million. You know, to us, that's a small amount of money. You go do it, because you think that had a built-in audience. But, you know, not to be, at least thus far. But I mean, we'd all, you know, be there opening day, wouldn't we, for a sequel to this?
Oh, absolutely. Well, if it came out right now, no, I wouldn't make it. I still haven't seen Doom 2 yet. Two. I thought I was going to be able to see that. Nope. So
I get the impression every morning you're out front doing a rain dance, you know, kind of praying for rain. Well, normally you don't want the rain, but I think now you're like,
Exactly. But here's the thing. The way things are going right now, even with rain, I'm still busy. I still have to get stuff done. Yeah. I have multiple places to work. And not only that, I have to organize all this. So if I'm not actually physically working at my job or physically working at the house, I'm like managing how to get everything done and organized. Feel like I got it when we're done here. I've got to eat, get back. I might not even be able to eat now. I'll just go and then come back and eat, but whatever. Did you have, speaking of which, do you have another one for today?
One more quick one. Yeah, only quick. Okay, so I've only seen one episode of this. The one bottom left corner that you've got there.
This one?
Yeah, that's it.
There we go. All right. Here we go.
Okay, so this is, now it says FX there. Over here, yeah. This is running on Disney Plus. And okay. This is Shogun. A new series based on the James Clavell novel. And the only reason that I've started watching this is friend of the show and erstwhile host of it, John Ciccone, had seen it and recommended it and said it was really good. However, I think, and I don't know, because you would have seen this the same as I did. I think he said that he'd seen the first two or three episodes and that the first one or two were quite slow. I think that's what he said. And if so, I know why he said that, because I've seen one episode of this, because I've been a little bit struggling for content this week as well, just because of time and everything else.
Yeah.
And so I watched this last night, the first episode, which is an hour and 10 minutes long. Oh, it's slow. Boy, oh boy, is it slow.
And it, now let me ask you got it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Is it in Atmos?
No, it's in 5.1, in Dolby 4K. 4K. HD, Ultra HD, So no Dolby Atmos, although I'm not sure what I've seen so far, it would matter anyway. Because I'm sure this is just trying to set the scene, but it's weird because you've got all these different lords. It's in Japanese with subtitles. So the Japanese characters are speaking the native language, which is fine. But then slightly weirdly, you've got, characters who are supposed to be Portuguese who are speaking English. So I can't quite work out why you've got Portuguese speaking English and not Portuguese, but Japanese speaking Japanese. And that was slightly doing my head in. But worse than that is it's so
shot in Spain.
Shot in Spain. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of CG in this. So it could have been, but it's so slow and so ponderous. And I was thinking, well, maybe this is going to be a kind of feudal Japan version of Game of Thrones. Yeah. But no, it was tough. An hour and 10 minutes, and I was struggling through this. Now, will I see episode two? I don't know. I'm not sure. It might be one and done, because it feels like homework, and I'm not sure I'm going to get beyond it. And don't you mean I'm a sucker for this stuff, feudal Japan stuff. You know, obviously we just recently saw Blue Eye Samurai, and Last Samurai movies like that. I mean, I love Japanese cinema. I've got loads of samurai movies in native Japanese. It's not that, but this just seems thunderously dull and plodding. And nothing really very interesting happens. It's a bit like the what was the Martin Scorsese film with Adam Driver and thing. Again, it was
just
a Japanese.
Recently.
Yeah, not. I keep wanting to call it Patience. It's not Patience. Silence. Is it Silence? I think it might have been that. And that kind of just, and it was the same sort of thing. It was very, very sort of slow going. So yeah, I don't know. The good news is it looks great. You know, I mean, all the Japanese armor, the swords, the surroundings, all of, Silence, right, brilliant, there you go. Thanks, Dom. I assume, Dom, that's the name of the film and not me telling me to shut up. Silence.
That's a good point.
You never know. With me, it happens a lot. It looks
same
great.
Here.
You know, it looks great. You know, the production design is top notch. I mean, they've spent a lot of money on it. And in fact, you can even see from that picture, the detail on the samurai armor, you know, I mean, all that's authentic and it looks great. And someone making this clearly likes it. You know, they really tried to go all out. But the audio is a bit forgettable. It's only 5.1. I don't know whether I will. I mean, I see Jordan saying in the chat, you know, it's worth,
stick with it. Yeah. It's worth watching. Stick with it. But what's funny is, and this is why it's like what we were talking about earlier, like you need to be motivated to watch what we do, to do what we do. Right. And I'm not saying we're saving the world here and we're doing anything crazy, but when you do like this, like, week after week, you need to have, you need to be, you got to find the inspiration to see the stuff that you're going to see because stuff like this, like Steve, it's not a coincidence that you coming off a very busy week, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's going crazy. You're like, you didn't really have a lot of time to do something. And you sit down and watch something that's slow paced. You're going to be, cause your brain is going, I gotta go. And you're like, come on, pick this up. I got things to do, you know?
Yeah.
When in actuality, if you had the time and you would probably really enjoy this cause you'd sit down and absorb it and really enjoy it, but you're just not in that frame of mind. And it's so important. And that's why, like, getting back to, like we said earlier, it's so hard to take requests to watch something. And it's like a lot of what I watch comes from what people say. But it's not a request. It's somebody like me saying I watch Dread, and you see people in the chat, I'm going to watch that tonight, or I'm going to watch Fifth Element, or I'm going to do this. You need that inspiration. But if somebody tells you to do something and you're not in that frame of mind, you're probably not going to enjoy it. So you're really not giving that piece a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know? So
I mean, I'm maybe revisit
it later.
This.
It's, yeah, it'll still be there.
Yeah, well, quite. Yeah. And that's the thing. It may well be. But just from episode one, it hasn't gripped me so far.
Yeah.
So maybe some other time. But yeah, I'll get around to it.
Let me hit this question. It's a great question. It's funny. I was going to mention Todd too. Dom in the chat is saying, guys, how do we get access to the green room? Is that up at AV Nirvana or some other location? So I would love to get that. Todd and I, like I said, I meant to call him today just to be like, buddy, I haven't talked to him in so long and I just want to say hi. But, Dom, email me, anybody, email me. You got to go to AV Nirvana, sign up to be a member at AV Nirvana, go through that process. Send me your AV Nirvana name. You'll have to pick a name. Then I give that to Todd. And he will give you access to the green room. Okay. That's the steps we go through. Now, anybody that wants to be in there that isn't already in there, hit me up and let me know you want to be in there. Cause we're actually thinking of taking down that whole process and just letting people in. And then we'll just monitor it on the backside to make it easier for everybody to get in a place that Brightside can show up within AV Nirvana. We can have our chats in there and stuff like that. So, but please, I know I'm busy. I get a lot of emails from people and I am reading them and I'll comment on them when I do the Takeover Tuesday. I may not even reply to you, but I guarantee you every email I get, it's 2 seconds. All I got to do is send your name to Todd and that'll get us fired up to get that thing organized. So if you're interested in it, let me know, shoot me an email and let me know. It's dj@brightsidehometheater.com. So we'll get that going. I know Todd, I would love to support and get avnirvana.com going even more, between the two of us. I think, between the two entities, Brightside Home Theater and AV Nirvana, I think we have a really, really great community that I think we can grow even more. So thanks for the question, Dom. That was awesome. Cause I keep forgetting to mention that. And the other thing I keep forgetting to mention, almost forgot, but I just remembered because I keep forgetting things. Next Friday, the, what is it, Steve? The 22nd.
Mm-hmm. 22nd.
We're doing another, home theater hangout with the HT guys. SVS is coming on board. We got my buddy Nick and, oh my God, what's his name? I forget his name. And but engineer from SVS. We've all gotten our bourbons except for Steve. Steve's over in the UK. So, but, we're going to be 6 p.m. Eastern time, at least an hour. Who knows how it goes, but we'll be talking about their new speakers, how they designed them, the passion that went into it. And, I forget. It's not a weird name, but I should remember it. Nick's going to kill me. but we're going to have a blast. Can't wait. And, it's going to be Smith. Thanks, Mike. Mikey Schramm in the chat. Smith. And that's what it is. His first name is like, I had to write back to Nick. I'm like, is that his first name or his last name? And he's like, first name. I'm like, thank you. So Smith from SVS. We'll be talking about that, but we'll get a little bit into the specs, but we're going to talk to the guys, just guys hanging out talking. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. I know the guys at HT guys are super excited about it. You know, our Braden, they talk about it every week because they're professionals, Steve. They remember things. Yes, it will be on YouTube. It will be on this channel. Definitely. I'm thinking if Ara shares it on his channel, it may be there as well, but it's going to be a live feed 6 p.m. Friday, the 22nd, 6 p.m. Eastern time. And so yes, it will be on YouTube. On Brightside Home Theater and it'll be everything that we have going right here. Steve will share it. I'll share it on X as well. So, really can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, and then let me do my last couple. You're done, right?
Yeah, so I'm done. Yep. Sorted.
Show you. So here we are. This is. These are the last few pictures right here. That's the front of the house as he left yesterday, as Robbie left yesterday. That's Robbie underneath my farmer's porch, making sure everything's tightened up nice and tight. And then today the plumbers were in. We have that's our common bath. This is the master bath, double sink. Situation. This here is where washer dryer hookup. This is our toilet room. Have its own special room with a little window. Yep. That's my parents' walk-in shower and everything else. And that's it. I mean, they've done all the plumbing overhead, underneath. There's another shower that's going in downstairs, but we can't do that until the basement's poured. So all of those images there. So sorry to the people. I realized this last week, but sorry to the people watching the audio only, but go to the YouTube and just fast forward and you'll be able to go through and see all the images.
Sync it up.
But don't be afraid to subscribe too on all of them. So, are we done? Cause I'm losing light, people. Losing light. Mm-hmm. So, but thank you everybody. Thanks for, the chat is insane. This is great. Thank you to everybody on YouTube. If you're not already watching on YouTube, maybe everybody is by now, and that's why the numbers are going so crazy. Thank you very much. This has been awesome watching you guys chat and keeping this thing going. And thank you to all the emails. Everybody sending emails of encouragement, stories, stuff like that. I am reading them. Thanks a lot for everything there. It's so funny. I think of like, I feel bad showing you pictures of like 2x4s and stuff, but you guys are encouraging me. And I think if I started a home theater podcast 2 months ago and started doing this, I'd be like, what the hell is this? But I think you know me. I love home theater. This is what we're doing. Steve does too. John does too. I can't wait to get him back. Can't wait to get him back because you know what he's going through. So, all right. Anything else, Steve?
Was it rate, review, and subscribe? We want them all to do that.
Yes, please.
And obviously, again, little reminder for those that may have joined us a bit late about the how they can monetarily support the show, Deej.
Oh, with yes. Patreon.com/BrightsideHomeTheater or buy us a box of popcorn. Go to the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. You can buy a box of popcorn. Support the show. You know, if we get enough money, I start traveling even more. There you go. All right. Everybody, and if it, at the very least, you know what you gotta do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.